just seen the new Paul Schrader film, Master Gardener. I saw it at the Cape Cinema in Dennis, Massachusetts, on Cape Cod. The movie is about a white supremacist who becomes a gardener. He begins working for a rich lady, tending the gardens on her estate, until he becomes the head gardener. She kind of takes him under her wing. You never see any of this. It's all kind of talked about. And as it turns out, so the guy, the master gardener, is played by Joel Edgerton in a great performance. The rich lady is played by Sigourney Weaver, also in a great performance. As it turns out, he's also sleeping with her. So he's banging her. There's no sex on screen. The whole movie is very tastefully done. Even the violence is tastefully done. There's almost no blood. There's almost no violence. It's most of it is suggested or it happens off screen. The movie is actually a very quiet, contemplative, slow, almost zen experience. I found it to be very relaxing. The score is definitely part of this. It kind of has like a lush 80s vibe, almost like a Terminator vibe at one or two points. Not, of course, like the action or the science fiction or anything, but just more like the quiet scenes with like this vibey synth score by the way, Devante Hines, also known as Blood Orange, who was also in a band called Test Icicles a long time ago that a lot of people don't remember. Most people know him for Blood Orange. I don't know if this is his first film score, but it definitely works. It's definitely a cool score. I think that's all I have to say about it right now. I will definitely have more later. Oh, I do remember something, though. Okay, so having said all that, there is a quiet intensity to the movie and to Joel Edgerton's performance. And also to Sigourney Weaver's performance, to a certain degree. There is a tension that runs through the whole movie, and it explodes in a couple of scenes at the end. Now, it explodes first in a quiet scene when the Joel Edgerton character, Roth, I forget his name, Narvel Roth, when he and the Maya character finally bang, or at least undress in front of each other. Again, you don't really see anything, although there's definitely some of that Paul Schrader kinkiness and freakishness and weirdness. But again, it's a very tastefully made movie. So it explodes quietly in that scene first, and then loudly in what I believe is the following scene, where they go to this house party and they end up almost killing some kids. He roughs them up, and they end up leaving, and that's that. These are two kids who were kind of like messing with her, and there's a whole thread about them that runs through the movie. This is her kind of other life where she's on drugs and she's, I guess you could say, fallen in with the wrong people, with a bad crowd. Who am I talking about? Who is this Maya character that I'm speaking of? She is the great, no, not great. She is the grandniece of the Sigourney Weaver character, I believe. It's her sister's daughter's... Wait a minute. Her sister's daughter's daughter. So I guess it is her great-grandniece. I don't know. Anyway, she ends up coming to the estate, and then Joel Edgerton's character kind of takes her under his wing. Also, just a quick note. Edgerton's character's last name is Roth, which, as far as I know, is a Jewish last name, which is sort of ironic, but I don't know. It could be one of those last names that could go either way and maybe isn't Jewish. Sorry if that's offensive. But I'm saying it could not be Jewish, or it could be Jewish. I may just be thinking that it's Jewish because of Eli Roth. One of the things that I liked most about Master Gardener was that excuse me. It actually taught me a lot about plants and about gardening. I had previously studied botany in college, but there were a lot of things I didn't know specifically about the history of gardens, which I thought was, that part was really interesting. Apparently, gardens used to be purely utilitarian. It's where people would grow food and herbs for medicine, things like this. But then gardens became aesthetic, and they became the entrance to someone's, I don't know, place of living, their mansion, I don't know. but they went from being utilitarian to aesthetic. I thought that was a really interesting distinction that the movie drew. This movie, Master Gardener, essentially forms the third in a kind of trilogy that Paul Schrader has formed. So, started with First Reformed back in 2018, then he continued it with The Card Counter in 2021, maybe 2020, I'm not sure. I think it was 2021 because I think it was two consecutive years, like 2022, Master Gardener, boom, back to back. Both stories, or all three stories, about men with dark pasts. I guess, does he have a dark past in First Reformed? It's been a while since I watched it, even though I think I watched it twice from start to finish. I think I'm hearing thunder. I might have to go inside. So, yeah, that's definitely thunder. What was I saying? Yeah, so definitely, like, in The Card Counter, I guess he was a CIA torturer or something. And I don't know. I did not get very far into that movie. I got not even 15 minutes, maybe like 5 or 10 minutes into it. I like Oscar Isaac as the lead. He's got Ethan Hawke in First Reformed, Joel Edgerton in this. Three great leads. And by the way, Sigourney Weaver, I don't know if I mentioned. I mentioned she's great in this. I'm always happy to see her. I don't know if I mentioned that. It's just great to see her pop up in a movie. And she's, yeah, she's kind of intense in this. And she gets to play a real character and do something interesting in this. Something she hasn't done in a while. I think I pretty much like every Paul Schrader movie that I've watched, that I've seen. I don't think he's a great director. I think he's a great writer. I think the closest he's ever come to being a great director is maybe American Gigolo, which I think... Oh, no, no. No. I was going to say it was his first movie. Definitely not. It's his third movie. He made Blue Collar and Hardcore, both of which are not, I don't think, great examples of great direction. Whereas American Gigolo perhaps is. I think it's the closest he's come. But with these movies, this trilogy, he's working in slow cinema. He's doing something different and interesting. A lot of images of just Joel Edgerton writing in his notebook, which I liked, with narration, him narrating it. And he's got this kind of like strong, deep voice, and it's cool. It works, and it reminded me of the Ethan Hawke, images of Ethan Hawke in First Reformed when he's writing in his notebook, and then also his narration in that movie. I don't think any of these were shot on film, which is why I'm calling them movies. I'm going to have to check that. The cinematographer, cinematography is great, by the way, in this. I shouldn't say it's great. It's really good. It's strong. I didn't get the DP's name. I think probably it was a name I didn't recognize. That's why it didn't register with me. Also, this has a great, or I keep saying great, but like a really good opening credit sequence, of just like time lapse flowers opening, blooming, coming into bloom, with the credits rolling next to them. It's this kind of split screen situation. And really cool. The best opening credits of any movie of the past, you know, whatever, few months. few years. I don't know, probably not a few years, but that I've seen in a while in terms of, like, you know, new movies, new releases that I've seen. This is Video Nasties. I'm sure I'll be back on for more. I have a lot more to say about this movie. But that's it for now. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you at the movies. I also want to mention that I have to check it, but I mentioned that the movie was made in 2022, released in 2022. I think it was finished and it played festivals in 2022, but now obviously it's getting its release. I'm seeing it in June of 2023. The sort of watermark copyright at the bottom of the movie, at the end of the closing credits, says 2022. So that's what I'm going by. I want to add to what I was saying about Amare. And again, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her name correctly. And I'm not even sure if it was on this episode or the previous episode, but I talked about her track Counterfeit, which to me sounded like an MIA song. But then when I listened back to it, it really sounds like a Neptune song. It's really like Neptune's early 2000s type of shit, which I love that it's a throwback to that. It's a great sound. I wish it was incorporated more into modern pop and hip-hop, although I guess it kind of is. It kind of was, I mean, you could say it kind of influenced everything. It was very influential, and they were the top producers. They were at the top of their field and the top of their game at that time when they were at their most popular, and it was their peak. And that's the sound. That's the sound that that song is a throwback to. See you at the movies.
This has been a production of Reptilian.